John chapter 17. I did a little series back in Northern Ireland on a youth weekend back in September. And it's about being in the world and not of the world, and the challenge to be different. And then whenever I'd used it on that weekend, I then kind of broke it up. There was about four sessions and kind of rolled it into one. So we're not going to be here all night. We'll try and get through it. But it's the challenge to be different for the Christian. It's a challenge to be different for us all from the world and to be in Christ. And we see in John chapter 17, John's Gospel chapter 17, we'll start reading at verse 6. It says, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." We'll end the reading there, and we trust the Lord will bless us as we listen to his word later on this evening. Now just turning again to John's Gospel, look at a few of these verses that we read together. John chapter 17. Let's pray again for God to speak to us, for God to help us to understand his word. When we think about the influences and the pressures that there are in the world, we can be encouraged by what Christ has prayed here, especially in verses 16, 17 and verse 18. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the Lord to speak to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being able to open your word. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to us. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt challenge us, Lord, as we live our lives. We pray, Lord, for those who are unsaved, unsaved, Lord. We pray that you would drive us to Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt come and keep us in your loving care. We pray, Lord, that as we look at this prayer that you prayed to the Father, God the Father, we see the wonderful example to pray. And Lord, we pray that we as thy people will be encouraged to pray, to be able to be strengthened and receive God's grace and God's favour to overcome the temptations and overcome the trials and the sinful influences that we do face in the world. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to logically think of thy word even tonight. Lord, we know that your word is a logical word. It's an understanding word. And Lord, we pray that you will speak to us. Help us, Lord, to reason ourselves together, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as we hear thy word, we will be united, Lord, in what it says. We pray, Lord, that we will want to seek after what is said this evening. We pray, Lord, you will help those who are unsaved to find Christ and to accept him as their Savior. Lord, we pray that you will call out your people unto yourself. We pray that you will bless us in Jesus' name, that thy name will be glorified. Amen. So we read those verses together, and especially verse 15, John 17, verse 15. What did the Lord pray? He prayed, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Notice that Christ doesn't pray for his people to be taken out of the world. The Lord doesn't say they will never be able to cope. He doesn't say that they will never be able to stand for their faith. He doesn't say the pressure of the world is too difficult for them. He doesn't say to God the Father to take them out as soon as they come to know Christ. No, he didn't. However, he did say at the end of verse 15, what did he say? He said that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. From the evil. So yes, the Lord realized there was pressure upon his people. Of course he did. Those words, keep them from the evil. The evil seems to mean the evil one in the original language, in the Greek language, which was of course the devil. Or we could say it means as well the evil deeds, the influences, the sinful influences that are in the world. So the Lord realized the world having hated him. That's right, the world hated Christ. They would also hate those who would profess to follow him. Alright? So he knew that there would be pressure upon his people. And Christ knew the tactics of the devil. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, where he was tempted by the devil three times or so. So he knew the tactics of the devil. He knew that the devil was one who went about tempting people to steer them away from God and to deceive them and take them away from the truth of God's word. So he acknowledged, Christ acknowledged that there were many out doing the devil's work throughout society. Alright? Trying to trip God's people up at every opportunity. He knows the influence that is pressed upon God's people today. And of course upon the nation as a whole. But if we face facts about the age that we live in, I wonder, as we ask the question, what influences you in your life? What does influence you? What influences you in your life? Think about your day-to-day routine. What things in your life actually influences you? Think of the impact that it might have upon you. We're going to list a few things here, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be involved with any of these things. I'm not telling you to get away from all of these things I mentioned, but I'm just showing you clearly that with everything that we face in the world, there is good influences, and there are good influences, and there are bad influences, sinful influences. You can think of the media today. What is the media? The media is a realm of information that's given through TV, through internet, through magazines, through the radio. So it's a various means of communication where we get information. And we can see through the media how there's many good things about the media. We pick up on good news. We pick up on news. We learn things in day-to-day lives by hearing about things in the media. But then there are things portrayed in the media that aren't true. They could be lies, deceit, and all the rest of it. You think in the realm of TV especially, if you think of the soaps that are on the TV, you think of how many, many different things are portrayed in a very careless way. You think of the issues of adultery and divorce and homosexuality. It's all presented very, very carelessly. And the meaning of true biblical marriage is done away with. I wonder how that influences us. I wonder, as we watch these things, how do these things influence us? What about video games for many of our young people throughout the nation? You think of the violence that is on video games, some of them, not all. There's bad behaviour. Hatred is portrayed in many of the video games. Hatred. General crime. I wonder how that affects the young person in regards to their obedience to the parents. What about the internet? The internet's good, again, for getting information, but the difficult thing about it is that it's private. It's looked at in secret, and you can be encouraged to look at things that you shouldn't look at. There's access to everything. The options are basically unlimited. What about technology as a whole? Now, we're not saying that you need to go out and throw out all your cars. We don't agree with technology. I'm not saying that. But technology as a whole has made life fast. But I wonder, has it made life too fast that we forget to slow down and keep at a steady pace walking with God, walking in agreement to His Word? So we thought about magazines there. You think of how magazines more in depth about how they bring out certain things. You think of how they're full of gossiping, lies, cheating. There's a false image that's portrayed, isn't there? Beauty is priority out in the world today. And there's a misleading of what true relationships are all about. You see how that priority of beauty is presented. What about friends? We can have friends that lead us in the wrong ways, and they can pressure us to make the wrong choices, and this is where we're getting into the thing. We can think of family. We learn a lot from our families, don't we? We're characterized in many ways by our parents. Similar personalities, similar habits, similar goals, maybe desires that we like, things that we dislike. Their influence can cause us perhaps to follow a particular career path when we are young. But maybe to those here today, maybe there's something that in your family that, and sadly today, can steer us away from Christ. Maybe there's people in the family that causes you to turn away from the Lord and to turn away from your faith. That's sad. But so we face many different influences, many different challenges. And that, especially upon believers, we need to realize that there are consequences for our actions. So if we are to avoid bad consequences, alright, we need to be able to analyze influences and analyse the pressures that there are, that are always presented before us, up against the teachings of God's Word. I want to think first of all about being right. We need to be right in what? We need to be right in the truth. What did the Lord pray for in John chapter 17, verse 17? He prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. And he said, thy word is truth. We have been given, mankind has been given, the conscience to determine what is right and what is wrong. And with our minds we act. We act on what we decide to either do or what opinions we form. But through our decisions we must be careful that we don't make decisions and opinions based only on what we think. Why? Because that is exactly how the ungodly in the world base their opinions and base their views by what they think is the truth. So we must also then remember that with our decisions, with our actions, there comes responsibility. Yes, God has given us the freedom to decide and take action, and He's given us that conscience, but He holds us responsible. So what are we to do? Do we just hide away in fear and say, well, oh, I don't want to step out too far with the Lord? Do we just hide into a small corner and not take a stand on anything in the world, just in case we do the wrong thing? No, no. So what do we do? If we are to be different in the world, if we are to stand out as a different people, a peculiar people, a people living to glorify God through Christ, we must form our opinions and our views based on biblical principles, the beliefs of Scripture, the doctrine, the teachings, and therefore basing our decisions on the direction of the Word of God. Of course, being guided by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the Scriptures. Why did He say that? He said that because they are they which testify of Me. They are they which testify of Me. So we need to be aware of the Bible's teachings through the warnings and advice which it gives to us. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. of course, where Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. And in this particular section, Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21, he spoke about the works of the flesh. And it's a very important thought to point out before we go on. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. That means evident. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, which are jealousies, wrath, strife, which is self-ambition, the word literally means, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And he says all of those things there. Here is a warning from God's word. And that should get alarm bells ringing in our minds before we even go anywhere. And we should realize this point as we thought about those things there that Paul mentioned. We are vulnerable in the flesh. Before the sinful influences come upon us and the pressures that come upon us come to us, we are vulnerable already in the flesh. Remember that Christ told his disciples to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. Why? Because he said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are weak in the flesh. We can't live without God. Remember what Christ said, without me you can do nothing. And so we need Christ. We need his help. We need God in our lives. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1 says, then, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. We're thinking now of analysing the things, the influences in our lives. He said, try the spirits whether they are of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, what did he say? He said, prove all things. Prove all things. Test all things. Analyse all things. And then he said, hold fast to that which is good. Look at Genesis chapter 39, where we read about Joseph. Remember, Joseph was taken from the land of Israel after he was thrown in a pit by his brothers, and then he was sold to the Ishmaelites, and then he was taken down into Egypt, and the man Potiphar, he took him to be an overseer of the house, to manage all the things in his house and to look after all of those things. In Genesis 39 verse 7 we read what happened to Joseph. It came to pass, verse 7, after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Go on down to verse 11. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Verse 12, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me, and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Why did I jump away over here to Genesis chapter 39 to see Joseph? Because it's a practical example, a principle of God's word, a principle of God's word. What would have been the consequence of Joseph giving in to the temptation that was presented before him by Potiphar's wife? Dishonoring God. Going against what God would have expected of him. Or going against what God would have wanted him to do. Wouldn't have wanted him to do. What would have been the consequence of running away from the temptation? Well, we know the story, many of us, I'm sure. What happened to Joseph? He ran away. Potiphar's wife told Potiphar, her husband, that it was Joseph that tried to make her lie with him. That was not true. And Potiphar believed his wife. What happened to Joseph? He was thrown into prison, a short-term imprisonment for a while, a false accusation laid against him, but then he was raised up to be a prime minister, wasn't he? He was able to, with his wisdom, be able to feed the thousands and thousands of people that would be starving in the famine in a few years to come. And the Lord would have been with Joseph. That would have been the consequence of running away. And that's exactly what Joseph did. The ungodly in the world would say today, what would be the best option? Think about this. Really think about it. This is a practical example. We face this in our society, what we're dealing with here about Joseph today, don't we? Then God, they would say, go on ahead. Nobody would know. That's a bit of a laugh. There's nothing to worry about. Just do it. It won't matter. What's the worst that can happen? Don't think about the consequences. Don't think about what will happen after it. But the consequence would be dishonoring, for Joseph, would be dishonoring his master and dishonoring God. Maybe you face a struggle in your life today. You face a struggle and you're enduring temptation and it comes knocking at your door every day. Don't we face temptation? Don't we face trials? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What did Joseph do? Joseph ran away. He honoured God. He honoured God. Remember the little verse in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and the verse 20. It says, them that honour me, God says, them that honour me, I will honour. He didn't stop there. He said, they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You know, maybe there's someone here, you're still offending God. You're still unsealed. You're still outside of Jesus Christ. Well, you need to stop and you need to turn. You need to do a U-turn. You need to repent of your sin. You need to turn away from it. And you need to, as these temptations face you in the world, you need to know that it's okay to say no. Remember what 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins if we look to the Lord in true repentance. And we want to turn away from those things in the world and have that eternal peace, that eternal joy. We can look to Christ and he will save us. He will forgive us. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will declare us as righteous in his sight. He will declare us as perfect. That's what happens when we come to know the Lord. God declares us righteous. He declares us perfect before him. So as we read in verse 17 then, in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God will set us apart. Whenever we come to know Christ and we continue on the road walking after the Lord, how does the Lord set us apart? He sets us apart through his word. Sanctify them, he prayed, through thy truth, through the word of God. So, we need to test. We need to analyze the influences surrounding us to see whether they are of God. We will only know the truth, believer. We will only know the truth, sinner. You will only know the truth if you take time to study the word of God and read it and listen to what it has to say, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal God's written word to you in your heart. 1 Corinthians or Chronicles chapter 16 verse 11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. And if we have faith and trust in the teaching of the scriptures, in God's word, we can confidently analyze the influences and the pressures alongside his word, those influences that we face in the world today. And we can recognize those sinful influences and those false teachings that are out there, and how the false teaching, false doctrine, false teaching is out in our society today in many, many different churches that surround us. There's false teaching. It's not true. And we need to analyze these things and see whether they are of God. And ultimately, we will be steered towards God, towards Christ, towards God through Christ. And we will be caused to lean upon him in true obedience. So we thought about being right in the truth. What about being real in our devotion? Look at chapter 17, verse 16. We're just jumping back a verse. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Let's ask ourselves some questions. Why? Ask yourself, why in the world am I here? Why are you here? Where are you in the world? Where are you in the world today? What purpose is there for you existing? Look at verse 16 again. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Because basically here you have two options. You're either united in Christ, or you're going to be of the world. You're either going to follow Christ, or you're either going to follow the ungodly influences which the world heads towards. You have two options. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes, your Psalms, the Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. And then after Ecclesiastes, you have the Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 6 to 7. We're thinking about being real in our devotion, and we need to see, first of all, that we need to be real about ourselves and about material things in the world. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and the verse 6, the wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. What's the writer talking about here? What's he speaking about? He's talking about the continual cycle here in these particular verses about the natural cycle of life. The natural things that are out there. What's he saying? What's it all about? Well, look at chapter 1, verse 14. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. All is vanity. What's he saying? He's saying life is empty if it is lived outside of the will of God. I'll say that again. Life is empty if it is lived outside of the will of God. If you look at chapter 2 and the verse 4, he goes on to say, I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. And he goes on and on. And then he says in verse 15, at the end of verse 15, look at it very carefully, he says, then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. What's he saying? Life is empty if it is lived outside the will of God. Everything's vanity if we're not in Christ. It all just disappears. And really, that's what's going to happen. Everything's just going to disappear in this world. It's all going to fade away. All the pleasures that there are in the sins of the world, it's all going to fade away. It's never going to last. There's going to be no eternal joy found in the pleasures of sin. And that's the simple truth. That everything in this life, get this into your mind, and I trust the Holy Spirit drives it home to your heart and speaks to you even through it. Everything in this life is only temporal. And the only thing that will last is the church of Jesus Christ. And all that Christ has done on the cross at Calvary to redeem his church, to deliver his people from their sins. It is the finished work of the cross that will be praised forevermore. That's all that will last. That's all that will last. If you believe the word of God, that is what you should believe. It is all that Christ has done. He shed his blood on the cross at Calvary. It is his atoning work, his covering work, to cover all of his people's sins. And you who are not saved here tonight, whatever stage you are at in your life, wherever you are in your life, to remember this, that the pleasure of sin will only last for a season. I proved it in my mind. When you think about things you shouldn't think about in past years, you know it doesn't last. It doesn't bring joy. It doesn't bring happiness. And you try to get alongside a particular friend, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't bring eternal joy. What happens then after death? You face the judgment. You see, you may strive for many things in life. And you might even live your life trying to do good works, trying to please the law or walk alongside the law of God. But if you haven't got to Christ, if you haven't got to Him who has shed His blood to take away your sin, you'll never be saved. You can't be. You need to trust the Lord. You need to come before Him and repent before Him and come through Him and trust that His blood that has been shed has the power to cover all of your sins. And before God, you're declared righteous in Him. If you're not in union with Jesus Christ, you're still of the world. You're lost. You're separated from a holy God. So, very quickly, what does that say about us then? We're a drop in the ocean. What are we in the sight of an almighty God? He is one who is full of truth, isn't he? He's full of mercy. And what are we? We're full of sin.
were full of misery.
And so the only thing that will last is our eternal soul. Where is your soul going to be after death? If you die tonight, where would your soul be? Would you be in heaven or would you be in hell? Are you serving the Lord today? Are you devoted in your walk with God? Have you realized that everything in the world will be burnt up one day and the only thing that's going to last is your soul? Let's be real about our faith now. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, and where we see Abraham, familiar character in the Bible. Abraham was called by God. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He obeyed. And it says, he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Look at verse 10 very carefully. It says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You think of Abraham, way back in the beginning of the Word of God in Genesis. He was genuine in his walk with God, wasn't he? Think about his life. He was obedient in a dark world. Remember, he was living up in a place that was full of idolatry in the air of the Chaldees. He faced that idolatrous influence day by day. There were heathens. But he was called by God. And he obeyed the call of God to come out from that land that was full of sin and to follow God by faith. What does it say in verse 10? It says, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And as he looked there, that's showing that he was waiting. He was waiting. By faith he was waiting. He was looking towards that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham's heart was turned around from living in a place of sin, idolatry, and he was turned towards following after God's righteousness, God's paths, not his ways, God's ways. And he was looking and he was waiting by faith to one day enter the kingdom of heaven. Whenever God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and promised, he was promised the blessing of Christ through his seed. Remember, he was called in Genesis 12. And he said that in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. He was talking about Christ, the future Messiah, coming from his descendants. Well, when he heard the call of God, he put legs through his prayers, as it were, and he turned away from sin. He got his eyes off the influences of the world, and he saw by faith Jesus Christ. As he offered those sacrifices, remember how we read in the Old Testament of how they offered up sacrifices using the animals to sacrifice unto God? What were they looking forward to? They were looking forward to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the eternal sacrifice, the true sacrifice, the one who would eternally take away sin. People, we need to be devoted towards God, trusting in the promises that has been laid out through the Word of God, while the world follows a path of faith, which is a route to go of chance, of luck, of probability. We can be encouraged through God's Word to follow a path of certainty, eternal hope, true hope, not false hope, true hope. We have a wonderful, wonderful written Word of God that directs us by faith to a path of eternal happiness, eternal joy. If you look at Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, the definition of faith really, verse 1, now faith is the substance. And the word substance means the realization. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the realization of things hoped for. And then it says the evidence, and the word evidence there means a conviction. A conviction. And so it's saying there the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance, or the realization, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. That's the definition of faith. Are you walking by faith? Are you devoted towards Jesus Christ by faith? Are you seeing Him by faith? Are you trusting in the Lord? Let's think about, lastly, very quickly, about being ready in our service. Look at John chapter 17 again, and verse 18. John 17, verse 18, it says, "As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Now look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we see a very, very familiar verses. Romans chapter 12 and the verses 1 to 2. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Being ready involves us being willing to follow the leading of God wherever He would lead us, trusting that His ways are perfect. And this is being obedient. This is being different from the world. And being different from the world will involve us shutting down our self-way of thinking, dying to self-desires, dying to self-ambitions, self-motives, and following the example of Jesus Christ. What do we learn about Jesus Christ? These are wonderful verses that even point us towards thinking about the Lord, how He was obedient. Think of Philippians 2 and the verse 8. It says He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He presented His human body as an eternal sacrifice. And we'll open up these verses just now in a moment or two. But Christ, He broke the power of sin by having the sins placed upon His own body on the tree. He made a way for man to get to God through His flesh. Isn't that a wonderful cost? Do you see God's love? Are you following Christ? Look at Romans 12, verse 1. Do you see where it says there? "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." A living sacrifice. Or are you as a Christian today presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice? This is the key to real Christian living, dying to the world and living unto Christ. He goes on to say then, "Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Listen very carefully to this. Your reasonable service. That word reasonable is taken from a Greek word, and the Greek word in the original literally means logical. That same word where we get the word reasonable, that Greek word in the original means logical. Alright, and it says your reasonable service. And the service, that word there in the Greek is referring to the service as a priest. Alright, so we have been made an holy priesthood, which is what 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 says. We have been made an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so it is perfectly logical then that we render this to be a lifelong service. It is logical to not to be conformed to the world, as verse 2 says. Be not conformed to this world. That is what Christ has predestined His people not to be. To not be conformed to the world, but to be, as the verse goes on to say, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind," which is being taken from our sin and having the mind of Christ, to follow after Him, to follow after His example. And then it says at the end of that verse, in verse 2, "that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is your reasonable service. This logical. This reasonable. Are you dedicated to the Lord? Are you ready to serve the Lord? Follow after Him. Remember whenever Moses came down from Mount Sinai after he was told by God to write the Ten Commandments. He came down from those many, many days and weeks that he was up on the mountain of Sinai. What did he see the children of Israel doing? He saw them worshipping a golden calf and dancing around it. What did he say in Exodus chapter 32, verse 26? Moses challenged them and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Are you going to be led by a golden statue or are you going to follow the Lord? What about us in our generation today? Are we going to conform ourselves after the false images that are out in the world today? After the sinful influences that are in the world? Are we going to conform to the image of Jesus Christ and walk after Him, our example? Praying willingly for the Holy Spirit to do that continuing work within us, to sanctify us and set us apart through the Word of God and go forward with Him. Romans chapter 12 verse 9 says, abhor that which is evil. But it says, cleave to that which is good. Cleave to that which is good. I'll finish with the words in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 to 15. Hebrews 4 verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Seeing that Christ has overcome temptation, He's conquered death by rising again the third day. Seeing that He is alive, seated at the right hand of God, there is nothing that He cannot bring us through. He has experienced death on our behalf. He has offered Himself a holy sacrifice to God for our sakes. He has shed His blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are not saved. Will you come to Him today? Will you trust Him? Will you lean upon Him? Will you follow after God's ways and not your ways? Walk in His steps. He will guide you. He has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. God's people, we can be encouraged to go forward with the Lord. Trust in His word. Depend upon it. And be very careful to analyse everything that we hear in the world against God, up against God's word. And prove all things through the word of God. Let's sing another hymn together as we close. Hymn number 510. How I praise Thee, precious Saviour, that Thy love laid hold on me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might a channel be. Let's sing it out with all of our hearts standing together as we do sing it together. Stand as we sing, please.
far to save me, setting free from self and sin. Thou hast brought me to possess me, in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Shadows only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit hearts that full surrender know that the stream
pray that you will bless your word to our hearts tonight. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to follow after you. We pray for those who are not yet saved, that you will bring them unto Jesus Christ in true believing faith. We pray, Lord, you will show them clearly through your word that there is eternal peace through Christ. There is eternal joy. There is a home of heaven ahead for those that persevere. We thank you, Lord, that the Holy Ghost does give us the help to persevere on in the faith. And we pray, Lord, that they will see that grace is given, help is given by God. It is God who holds us up in our faith and who holds us right to the very end. We think of Abraham, how he was dedicated in his walk with the Lord. He followed the Lord determinedly, obediently, following Christ, following God the Father, and looking forward to Christ, looking forward by faith, looking forward to the eternal home of heaven ahead, whose city is built, whose foundations are built on God. Lord, we pray that you will help us as thy people to look forward to that day when we will be united together. No more pain, no more sorrow. We pray, Lord, you will help us by faith to see our Savior Christ, all that he has done. We thank you, Lord, that his name will live on. What he has done for his church to redeem it, Lord, forevermore will live on. It will be the praise that will be glorified throughout all of eternity. Help us to glorify God in our lives. Help us to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, wholly acceptable unto him. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will take us home in safety. We pray, Lord, that you will help us this week to go forward in thy work. We pray, Lord, you'll help us, Lord, in our workplaces. We pray that you will go with us. Help us to stand against the influences, the sin that's out there. Help us, Lord, to be able to analyze it with thy word. Help us to know the scriptures. Help us to understand the scriptures. Help us to be dedicated in understanding them and wanting the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ through his word. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.